Good afternoon. Thank you for the introduction. So I'm going to explain how to close the performance gap between volatile and persistent key value stores. I did this work while at Oracle together with my colleagues from there. And let's just jump right into it. So there has been a long time trade-off between persistent and fast key value stores. This is natural because writing to persistent storage tends to be expensive and slow. So we usually end up having either a persistent store that is slow or a volatile store where we get some performance benefits of only writing to DRAM. Now, what about having both? What about having both a persistent and fast key value store? I'm going to show you in this talk how to at least approach this and get close to it. So what we take to our help is the new emerging technology of non-volatile memory. It is faster than hard drives or than SSDs, and it is also byte addressable, so we don't need to marshal our data before writing it to the persistent storage. This is all great, but it's not so easy because it's still slower than DRAM, and it's expected to be within one order of magnitude slower than DRAM still. And what is much worse than that is that it is quite tricky to manage consistently. This might not be obvious at the first glance, but there are two big problems with this. One is that the writes that go to persistent memory, they need to be ordered in a very specific way in order to be able to tolerate crashes at any point in time. And what is even worse is that the cache hierarchy of modern systems is still volatile. And making sure that all the writes actually reach the memory in a specific order involves many store fences and barriers that tend to be very expensive. And this is where the big complexity comes from. So at the bottom line, the DRAM key value stores are not so easily directly translatable to non-volatile memory just by applying the same algorithm and changing the DIMMs for non-volatile ones. So in this talk, I will try to show how this can be overcome. First, I will explain how to get the best out of DRAM and non-volatile memory using an approach that we call cross-referencing logs. And then I will show Bullet, which is a fast and persistent key value store that uses this general concept of cross-referencing logs. All right, so let's get to the first part. How do we get the best out of DRAM and non-volatile memory? Well, we do what we always do when we have something that is fast and something that is not so fast but has other advantages. We always, in this case, use, or very often we use caching. Caching is a very well-known, well-studied, and old concept. Already the ancient Egyptians used caching when building the pyramids. It's been there forever. And this is exactly what we do too. So we take a volatile store that we call the front end, and it is in DRAM, and we take some persistent key value store that we call the back end, and that sits in persistent storage. And we use the front end as a cache for the back end. Now, one difference is that we don't use hard drives or SSDs, but we use non-volatile memory for the back end. And the interesting part about this is how we do the caching. All right, so first, the reading. Reading is very standard. We just look up in the back end what we don't find in the front end. That's standard caching. Now, for the writing, it becomes slightly more complicated because we need to remember that we need to expose a persistent interface of our key value store. That means when there's a write request and that request returns, the data already has to be written somewhere persistently. Otherwise, if a crash occurred, we would lose the data. So how do we do the writing? Well, first, when a write request comes in, we persistently log the write operation. Then we update the front-end cache. and then we can already return to the client. Since the log is persistent, the data will not get lost even if the crash occurs immediately. And then sometime eventually in the background, we take the log entries and we apply them to the backend store. Now all the magic happens in the persistent logging. This is where our approach brings something interesting. So we need to address several challenges here. We need it to be persistent, of course, but we also want to have some performance. We want to have low latency. We want our system to be scalable to many threads. And we also need the data to be written consistently. I will talk about this in slightly more detail now. So the persistence we just achieve by placing the logs in non-volatile memory. Low latency is guaranteed, or we have low latency by trying to have as few NVM accesses per log append. In fact, in our system, we only have 2 persist barriers per log append operation. We achieve scalability by not having just a single log, but by having multiple logs, one per thread. So each thread has its own persistent log to which it appends, and does not need to synchronize on a fine-grained level or doesn't need to compete for the same log with other threads. And this, however, creates a problem, a consistency problem, because if we have several threads writing to several logs, we want to avoid situations where two write operations get reordered just because they were handled by different threads and were written in different logs. So we introduce cross-log references, which is the main point of this part of the talk. So I'm going to show you how that works in a simple example. We have 3 logs in this example, in the center of the slide. On the left, we have threads that append to these logs when write operations arrive. And on the right, there are threads that read from these logs and apply the log entries to the backend storage. A log entry consists of 4 main fields. There are slightly more. You can see which exactly those are in the paper. But for the sake of this example, 4 are crucial. First is a key, which identifies the object that is to be modified. Then the operation says how this object should be modified, the operation to apply to the object. Then we have an applied flag, which says whether this particular log entry already has been applied to the backend. And most importantly, we have a field that might or might not contain a pointer to another log record that is supposed to be ordered before this log record. So let's go through a simple example. Let's say one thread receives a write operation that should put A in object number 1. So it creates a log record and it places it in the persistent log. Then another thread wants to put B in object number 2, so it does the same thing. And since both of these are first operations for their respective keys, the previous field is null because there is no other log record that is touching that key. However, when the first thread decides or receives a request to delete the object number 2, it creates a log record, appends it to its own log. But since this is not the first record that is touching object number 2, it needs to create a link between that new record and the previous one that is touching object number 2. Now we can have another log record touching object number 3, and let's say we have a third one for number 2. We apply the very same reasoning, and this time we need to reference the last entry touching object number 2, which is the one in the first log. So we create such a linked list of entries that are editing or that are modifying the same object. Now, when a consumer thread wakes up, or when it comes to the point where it's supposed to process the log entries, it first looks at the redly marked entry, and since it has no previous pointers, it would just apply to the backend and mark it as applied. Now it continues with the other one, but it doesn't apply directly because it sees that it points to another log record that is supposed to be applied before. So it follows the link, does recursively the same thing. It follows the link again, and it it traversed all the log entries that are touching the same key, and traverses this list in the reverse order, first applying the one that was added first, then the second, and only then the third one. So this is the basic idea of cross-referencing logs. There's many details to it that for which I invite you to read the paper. All right, so using this cross-referencing log idea, we built Bullet, which is a key value store that is both fast and persistent and uses the cross-referencing logs at its core. I will first talk about the basic design of Bullet and then about some optimizations. And when I'm talking about these things, I will throw in some plots that show the performance of it and how it compares with others. So first to the basic design. You probably know this slide already if you didn't fall asleep after lunch so fast. So we have the volatile front end and the persistent back end, and we use non-volatile memory in the back end. So in our particular implementation, we just use a hash table as a key value store in the volatile RAM-based front end. And we use almost the very same hash table in the back end. Now, these will serve as some kind of baselines. And we show how these individual tables perform. And then we will try to get the best out of both. So we ran our experiments on a 16-core machine with 512 gigs of RAM. And we used the Intel's NVMe emulation platform to emulate non-volatile memory on top of RAM by adding some extra delays for reading and storing. For the experiments, we use a ZipFi and key distribution, which is equivalent to a YCSD benchmark. And we measure the 99th percentile latency, and we compare against high KV, which is a state-of-the-art key-value store that has been presented in this conference last year, I think. All right, so just the raw performance of the hash tables is as follows. The green lines correspond to the backend persistent-only hash table, and the violet ones are the volatile version. This is a standard throughput versus latency plot, so on the x-axis is the throughput of the system in number of operations per second, and on the y-axis we have the latency. And we see that there is a big performance gap between the volatile and the purely persistent one. So our goal will be to push the persistent lines from the top left as far to the bottom right as possible. So let's see how this can be done. The basic Bullet design is very simple. We have our two hash tables, and the caching is done, surprise, surprise, using cross-referencing logs. So in the persistent domain, we add some logs, and in the volatile domain, each log has one thread assigned, and the thread is taking read or write requests, handling them in the front end when possible, and if these are writes, it would also write the updates to the persistent logs in the backend part. Now, in the backend, we also have one thread per log, and these threads take care of applying the log records to the backend, as I already described just a few minutes ago. The front-end threads, we call them log writers, because they write the logs, and the backend threads, we call them log gleaners. Now, just, and this is basically the fundamental bullet design. So how does it perform? For a read-only workload, here we have what we had before, the persistent-only hash table and the volatile-only hash table. So bullet, high KV, which is the state-of-the-art key value store that was presented here before, it's also persistent, is doing better than our persistent, simple persistent hash table because it's quite optimized. But it still achieves rather high latencies compared to the volatile-only version. Now, bullet lies here for read-only workload. Why is that? Well, because everything is handled in the front end. There is no writes, and this makes the back end almost obsolete. The problem is that we don't really reach a big throughput here, since we only have half of the number of threads in the front end, and the log gleaners that are in the back end, they're basically doing nothing because there's no writes. I will show you some optimizations how we can avoid this. For 15% writes, which is a very write-heavy workload, we see a bigger difference because the writes are more expensive. We need to write more in the backend and in the persistent logs. So these are already nice, but not so great numbers as we would hope for. So let's look at some optimizations that we can do to make these numbers even better. So first optimization is that dynamically assigns worker roles to front-end or back-end. In the basic design, each log had one writer thread and one gleaner thread assigned to it in a static way. So what we do is that we just make it possible for any thread to serve anything, to serve any log in any role. So when we have a read-heavy workload, most of the threads would be in the front end, handling requests and increasing throughput. And only as many threads as necessary would do the background part and apply updates to the back end. If we have a write-heavy workload, we would switch many threads to gleaning, and only fewer threads would be doing the front end work, such that our logs don't overfill and we don't have to stall. All right, this is one optimization. Before I show you how this helps, I'll present you another optimization, which is overwriting. Some of you might have noticed already that it's kind of not necessary to do all these three operations in order, because one is put B, then we delete it immediately, and then we overwrite all the things with C. So we can basically ignore the first two operations, and the result would be the same. Now note that in our bullet key value store, we can afford this because it's a simple key value store, and the objects we are touching are simple registers. And operations on this are, the write operations are idempotent. If this was another more complex store, and it would store, for example, lists, and the operations were list appends or list deletes, then we actually would have to execute everything. And cross-referencing logs are general enough to support that, but in our particular case, we can actually skip these operations, and we don't even follow the links. We would just always apply just the last operation. That creates some space in the logs that doesn't even need to be looked at, and the log gleaners might switch to some other more useful work. So for the performance, this is the plot for the read-only workload we saw before. And finally, for the read-only workload, the new green line is exactly covering the volatile-only version, because all we do in all the threads are in the front end and are serving requests in the volatile way. Now for 15% writes, we get much better in terms of latency, and with throughput not so much. And this is caused by the fact that there is work to do in the back end, and we do need to eventually apply all the records, and this is expensive. And the workload is dominated by this. So although we can take many things off the critical path, the work is still there to be done, and our throughput isn't improved that much. A little bit by the overwrite optimization. Now, for the 2% writes workload, which could be considered a very common one in many scenarios, we still achieve a very close performance to the volatile-only version. So in many realistic scenarios, we almost close the gap between volatile and persistent key-value stores. So to summarize my talk, I presented cross-referencing logs, which is a DRAM cache for a non-volatile memory key-value store or other stores. It uses a DRAM front-end and an NVMe back-end, and it improves the latency of writes considerably. Then I presented Bullet, a key-value store that uses the concept of cross-referencing logs, and it uses two almost identical hash tables, one in DRAM and one in non-volatile memory, and it achieves DRAM performance for reads, and it substantially improves the latency for writes. There's much more about this, many more details that you can find in the paper, and I invite you to read it. And with this, I conclude my talk, and I'll be glad to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
I'll ask a quick one. Hi, I'm Dahlia from VMware. Nice talk. I missed the first few minutes, so maybe I'm asking something that you covered. But what about recovery in case the system, you know, the power goes down and these logs are partially, flushed?
So on recovery, the system needs to traverse all the logs and rebuild we just simply apply what has not been flushed yet to the backend. Each log entry has a flag that says whether it has been applied or not. And on recovery, we just run through all the logs and apply what has not been applied yet.
What about the situation when the backend threads cannot keep up with the write load, either because not enough cores are scheduled for them or because the media is not keeping up? Is there any sort of back pressure that would slow down the front ends?
Yes. So in our dynamic version, if the logs get close to full, we would start switching the threads that are writing to the logs to do the work of consuming the logs. In the extreme case, we just have one single writer thread, and all the others are applying. And even if this is not enough, then the logs would just fill up, and the front-end threads would just stall until some log space gets freed up.
Okay, thank you.